Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, Tyler, it is a little after 3. What's the breaking news?
Yeah, heading into the 3 o'clock hour, we got some Houston Astros breaking news. Outfielder Jake Meyers, has been placed on the 10-day injured list for the Houston Astros due to what they are calling a right calf strain. This is retroactive to July 10th.
Any understanding if they took a look at any kind of imaging or MRIs or anything?
No. I'm not sure. I don't have that information, but I would guess they probably felt okay about it and just skipped that part. But Jake Meyers to the IL, and additionally to that, to make room on the 40-man roster. Old D's nuts. Zach DiZenzo, he's been transferred to the 60-day injured list. DiZenzo has been on the IL since June 1st with that left hand injury. But Jake Meyers, 10-day IL.
So he's going to the 60-day?
Yeah, so that tells you that he's at least out for the rest of the month. Don't expect to see Zach DiZenzo back after the All-Star break.
He had the hand inflammation, too, and he hadn't been swinging a bat since.
I'm sure the training staff's doing just everything they can to get these guys back out there.
Now, they are doing everything that they can, for the most part. Now, I think it can be questioned if their methods are the best, but they're doing everything, I think.
Yeah,
they didn't get that MRI.
I don't know if it's an issue of doing everything they can as much as it is what can they do. Like,
what are they capable of doing?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is their can good enough?
Yeah, their can good enough. Astros, if you're just joining us, if you missed Tyler, coming in, breaking news. I see this from Chandler Rome of The Athletic. The Astros put Jake Meyers on the IL with what they describe as a right calf strain. Zach DiZenzo transferred to the 60-day IL, so he is going to be a while. Again, Chaz, you have got to find a way to get through this oblique.
Oh, man, it's over.
It's time there for you.
It's over.
Is it? It's time there for you. It wasn't ever, man. Jake is on the
– Man, it's
Jake's
done.
Gone. DiZenzo's gone for a while.
It's done. He's like – you ever see somebody perish and it just takes forever for the tombstone to get there? You ever have family like that? It's like, man, when did they bury Susie? She still don't have a headstone.
When did they bury Susie?
That's Chaz right now. Chaz is the dead man without a headstone.
I don't believe that.
They just waiting. He got a plot.
Just get over that oblique.
He got a plot.
Just get over that oblique, man.
We just got to remember where it's at.
We'll see. So
where is Chaz at?
He's out. Hey, Chaz is in Florida. Chaz is in Sugar Land.
Chaz is out here. No, I'm saying
he's in the lineup
at the graveyard. Oh, where is he? I don't see his headstone.
Hearing that. Chaz,
he's to the left. He's to the left.
He is ready.
He's at about 11 o'clock to your left.
This is Chaz's time, man. He's got to answer the bell.
Got to get him that headstone.
Probably won't.
Does the headstone say Chaz or white or does it say Chaz say McCormick or white or
it's
white Chaz, boy
it's
Chaz?
Chaz McCormick.
Okay.
You'll come at me about white boy Chaz.
Yeah.
I ain't know if you
no
know
more,
at least at least in death that we could honor the man.
No more
what he once was.
Got to honor him as he is as he died. But he's not dead though. He's coming back,
man.
Here he goes. Now it's open season for him. Got to be out. He's got to be able to beat out the Hummels and the Trammells. It's open season.
He ain't yet though. I understand he hurt, but I'm just saying he was losing his
Chaz
spot
time.
To them types
Chaz
to that type of time already.
Chaz time. No, they up here because Chaz ain't available. That's why they up.
Was trending in the wrong direction when healthy.
All right. The Texans. I wanted to have this conversation with you guys because I am just answering this question real quick. Shout out to my guy Tony, my guy from Viking Carpet One came by the house.
He's crazy, man.
Tony came by the crib today. Tony is my man.
That fool
my
is
man,
crazy.
Tony, my man. Tony, my man. Tony told me he got a guy. I got a guy for everything.
Yeah.
First off,
important to have a guy.
First
for
First off, you can tell by a mile away. And Tony, I love you. You're probably listening right now. You can wear every Astro hat that you want to wear, Tony. We know your ass is. As soon as you start talking, we know where your ass is from. Tony gonna tell me. He said I was listening to the station one day, and I heard Patrick talk about where he grew up and areas he's from. He was like, I stayed. I mean, a couple of you know, cities over from him. No, you didn't.
Heavy New York accent.
Oh, heavy, baby. He's been here. He's been here for a while. Been here over, I believe, over 18, almost 20 years. But he can't shake it. Yeah, but he's an Astros fan. Now he got his Astros hat on. But my man came over. He told me I got a guy. Got a guy for everything. Got a guy for these. Got a guy for these floors. Got a guy for electric. I got a guy, and I believe it.
A resourceful Yankee.
I'm gonna have my guy, but now he took care of me, man. Came over very discreet. Hey, my man, come over and tell you. He'll let you know. Hey, I'm 9:03, 3 minutes behind. I'm tell you exactly what time I'm gonna be at your crib. Take care of you, kind of guy. You know when you mess with a real one, a real good one, when they tell you I'm just looking to earn your business.
There you go.
I ain't looking to earn your business.
They'll tell you they did something extra, but they're not going to charge you for it.
Nah, yeah.
They're not going to charge you for it, but
they're going to let you know.
They do want you to know that this thing occurred. Because they want your business.
Hey, I know we was pissing off my wife. Because me and Tony, we were going back and forth doing this. They were just talk loud. Just be talking loud, and know somebody else was talking loud, but you feel yourself talking loud, and I could look at Courtney like, and they're looking around. Damn, why y'all talking so loud?
Yes.
And we just matching. Okay, all right. I mean, we just both talking loud. All three of us standing right next to each other.
Yelling.
I could see it. I could just feel it from Courtney. Why are they talking so damn loud? I know I was too. But shout out to my guy, Tony. Took care of me over there at Viking Carpet One, man. Good guy. Good dude. Just text me. Just text me everything that I need to know from the work they did today. So that's a shout out to my guy, Tony. But I've always thought this, even before I got here from afar. I would say last year was the first time with the Texans it felt different. I wonder how many of you all have felt this. 713-572-4610. Those of you can chime in on the text line and on YouTube and Twitch. But I've always kind of thought, like, a big issue for the Texans over the years why they have not reached where they've wanted to go is just, for me, like, there's a lot of different things, but they just haven't had the horses. Like, I mean, they've had some horses. I mean, they've had some horses with Andre and you know, they've had some Arian Foster. They had some horses, but you just always felt, even back then, and I know Wade Smith, our guy Wade's probably listening. Hold on now. We had it rolling.
Bro.
It was, and maybe in the moment you didn't think about it, Tyler and Brandon and people listening, but I think the team that I was covering and rooting for was in a similar boat at this time. Like, boy, what has to happen? Do we really have the horses to go through at that time?
The arrows pointed up.
Ben and the Steelers.
Yeah.
Peyton and the Colts / Broncos, and then Tom and the Patriots. Tom,
yeah.
Like, do we really, like, I know we got some guys. Do we really have it? And now it's been, do we really have the horses to get through Josh and the Bills?
Certainly not Lamar
and the Ravens, and then Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Answer's been a definitive no so far.
And I'll be honest, last year, fellas, was the first time that I was like, yo, I think the Texans have the horses. I felt like they had the quarterback that could roll with it. Then you add Diggs with Tank and with Nico Collins, what he showed, Joe Mixon, and then Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, and Derek Stingley Jr. Like, coming, I said, to me, they got, it felt like to me was the first time I thought the Houston Texans actually had the horses to compete. Now, could the experience get them? Could the coaching, could that get them? But I felt like they had the horses. Do you feel like they have the horses this year? 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. When you look at this, do you feel like the Texans are in the space where they have the horses to compete with the teams that you know we're talking about.
Yeah, when you lay it out that way, it really makes me think more about how disappointing last year really was. Because I think you could make the argument, you could make the case that from top to bottom, maybe not in every spot, but from top to bottom, I think you could make the case that it was the most talented Texans team that they had ever assembled. If you think about what they had at quarterback, what they had in terms of weapons, this is before everybody gets hurt, of course, right? When you've got a healthy Tank Dell, a healthy Stephon Diggs, obviously a healthy Nico Collins. Just on the surface of it, of course, Joe Mixon you add. On the surface level, that I think you can make the case was the most talented Texans team that they've ever assembled, and it did not
clearly, as someone texted,
play out that way.
Stroud was different than Chubb. Yeah, I think there's a difference, right? Yeah. Like, you felt like your quarterback could match up with those guys, and that is a very, very big deal.
Yeah, it's
you
almost
have
like
the
a
quarterback. Do you feel like? But do you feel when you look at this roster and this team that you do, Brandon? Real quick, someone text in. We have the quarterback. We have the running back. We have the wide receiver. Yep. We have the defense. We have the coach.
Facts.
We don't have the offensive line or the OC yet, I don't think.
I mean, I think that's a good way to put it. Like, and so now the question is, can the offensive line, even though, like, this is not the offensive line of 2011 and 2012, the ones that Wade Smith played on, right? So you don't have that offensive line, but can it be good enough given that otherwise – you do appear to have the horses. Like, to answer your question just directly.
So you think yes. They do. They have the horses.
They have the horses.
Compete.
Do they have?
This isn't a one. You don't think this is one where it's like back in the day for Matt Schaub and the Texans to get through Ben and Peyton and Tom, you feel like a lot of stuff got to go right and go your way.
Yeah.
You don't feel like this team is in that space. The offensive line is the real big. I don't. That's the space where I don't know.
It's like you got the horses, but is your harness messed up? Like the or whatever. whatever it is that the
you got the horses, but is your harness?
Do you got to ride that bad boy bareback?
You got to walk on the side of it.
You know? Yeah. Exactly.
Do you got the bike, but you have me riding?
Yeah. Exactly. is that horse bucked? Yeah. Is the question. So, like, I think they've got it. I mean, you look at it from top to bottom. I mean, this is a talented roster, but the reasons why you don't believe in them, A, is because you haven't seen it before. These other teams, you've actually seen them either win the Super Bowl or, in the cases of, let's say, the Baltimore Ravens, you've seen them own the Texans. So you've got to favor the Baltimore Ravens, even if you like the horses that the Texans have.
Someone text in, I don't know if I'm ready to put C.J. Stroud as a guy that is one of those horses to compete with the ones that you just named.
It's a big year to prove that, right? It's a big year for him to, like, really establish that. I was thinking about this the other day, how it feels like right now when we talk about C.J. Stroud, it feels like you have a Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks in the NFL right now. It's it's Mahomes at the top, and then in no specific order, it's Allen, Burrow, and Jackson, right? So it feels like you know who the top four guys are. But what is C.J. Stroud doing this year to etch his way into that conversation, to be that fifth guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who is that fifth guy? What does C.J. Stroud do to sort of join that conversation? Honestly, the type of rookie year that he had felt like he was inching toward that conversation.
Oh, I think people had him in the top seven.
I had him no less than seven. Yeah. Now you figure he's still in the top 10, but is he top five? Is he top seven? And that'll kind of speak to the question of, do they have the horses? How good is he in year three? And you know, a lot of that is going to have to do
with the guy,
the rest of the horses, if you will, the offensive line, and of course the offense itself with Nick Caley and what that impact is.
Next line coming through. You have a Ferrari, but you don't know how to shift from first gear. Do the Texans beat the Chiefs in the playoffs with Diggs, Tank, Nico, Mixon, all healthy?
Yeah, because those would be the horses, right? Those would be the horses. I think it's a fair question.
I mean, it's a fair question. The other part is they got annihilated.
Ask yourself, what do you truly believe? Like, and it could be a little bit of the history being a little bit of, you know, jaded. And of course, the Chiefs have their own history as positive, right? Recent history. But, like, do you really think so? What do you think is the answer to that question?
I don't know.
They would have found a way to lose that game.
That's interesting. But, Tyler, you agree
with
this?
It's a fair question.
B. Scott, you can jump in. Someone text in. man, I don't know. They had the horses with Deshaun when they were up 24-0 versus KC, but somehow choked the game off.
It's a fair point.
Do they have? You think they had the horses in those years?
Yeah.
Deshaun, Hopkins,
JJ. That's not an easy absolutely yes for me.
I mean, again, they were up 24-0, and it was a lot of fool's gold.
Yeah, but they, that same team is the same team that blew the 24.
It's also the same team that was down 16-0 the week before against Josh Allen, a young Josh Allen, but against Josh Allen's Buffalo Bills and came back
in an
epic playoff performance at NRG. So
felt like they could trick you with the horses because they were top heavy.
We know who lost that game.
They were top heavy, but not even just that game, but those years, right? Those couple years where Deshaun was they were top heavy where they got blown out by the Colts and then they lose that one. They were top heavy, but the rest of it wasn't. Like when you got to put Lonnie Johnson one-on-one with Travis Kelce.
I get it, but they still had the champions, right? The Chiefs went on to win the Super Bowl that year, right? They had the Super Bowl champs down 24-0 at their own house, and by the way, had beaten them earlier in the season at Arrowhead.
Well, I got you, but did you feel like that was a team had the horse?
Yeah, at the time, sure. You did. Now in retrospect, clearly they didn't.
Not this Deshaun, but I mean, like,
at the time, 100%.
Okay, that's you know what? I'll stand. That's fair. Maybe there were the horses there.
It's very easy now to look back and say, oh, that was fool's gold. No, it wasn't really there.
Yeah, they had
Bill
Deshaun,
O'Brien's a joke, all of that. They traded DeAndre Hopkins.
They had Deshaun. Right? They had Hopkins. They had Tunzel.
Even Deshaun now is not good. Yeah. So you're like, oh, was that how good was that really? But at the time, like, put yourself in 2019, absolutely it felt like they had the horses. J.J. Watt coming back from the torn pec. Yeah.
It felt like 100%, it at the time. Yeah, yeah. They have old buddy on the other side, too. I think they did. They have
Merciless.
Not just Merciless, but Jadeveon Clowney.
Not on the 2019 team. That was when he was.
Yeah. He was on that team. Clowney was on that team, right?
No, they were traded. They were traded in the summer of 2019. So no, Clowney was not on that team.
Who
they played together, but not that year.
Maybe I'm missing it.
2018, they did.
Maybe I'm missing it because.
Because remember, they do the Clowney trade and the Tunzel trade like within days.
Days of each other? Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that crossover, that happens at the same time.
All right, coming up, I need Tyler and I need many of you. I need many of you. I told you yesterday, I tell myself I don't like lists. Well, I heard a list that I had to bring to the people. We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
You just made the list.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. Clint is out today, but Brandon Scott is in the building. Also, Tyler Milner is in the building. T-Mill's best bets coming up a little bit later on as he is firing all cylinders right now.
You ass.
Boy's on a heater.
I've had nothing but two every night.
Hey, Tony said, I'm not betting with Tyler's ass.
Hey, Tony better watch his ass. He talks a lot of ish.
I'll come at you, Tony. That's what Tony said. He said, and you hear him every time you talk trash.
I'll put you in a grave, T.
Okay. Oh, whoa, man. What in the hell?
A metaphorical grave.
Yeah, not like, literally.
Not
yeah,
like
but
an actual grave.
But, I mean, you come at me.
You're talking about, like, whatever grade it is that Chaz McCormick is sleeping in right now.
Tony seemed like he might get serious.
Oh, well, he can get serious all he wants. I will put him in his grave. Tony talks a lot of ish when he calls into Area 45 about this show.
He did it in my kitchen, place you've never been yet. I've invited you.
Once, yeah.
Twice.
Nope, once.
Yep, twice.
Yeah, I've been there. Broke bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and Clint tossed around some idea about us all, like, having dinner or something at some point. That never happened.
That really fell by the wayside. I put that on me. Yeah, that did.
We're just coworkers, man. It's cool.
You're going to the game with us tomorrow. Me, you?
Yeah, because you needed a skinny dude.
That's not entirely true.
That's kind of how you made it sound.
You could have picked me. I'm
you're
skinny.
The first person.
He said it was either me or you because we're skinny.
I'm just having some fun. You're the first person I thought of.
Yeah, okay.
You needed it, just like we needed together. Man.
The Drive is awesome. We're the number one afternoon show in this city.
We're great
co-workers, but that's what me, you, and Clint are.
Won't you come by tomorrow? We can go out there together.
Why would I go all the way to your house and then go to the dike?
Third invitation, and you just turned it down again. All right, I need what a setup. All right, I need your help and the people. So I'm not afraid to admit, I was listening to another show earlier today. I was listening to the Dan Le Batard show.
Why not?
And they were doing a list of the top five older white guy favorite sayings.
Yes.
And I had to write them down.
Oh, I got
to,
one.
I had to write them down, and I just wanted to bring to the table to Tyler for obvious reasons and a lot of our other listeners for obvious reasons. And I think the emphasis on older white guys is a real clear thought to this, as Beast God is writing down some, I think. And I just want to get your thoughts on the top five older white guy sayings. And 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, tell me if you agree with them, because where they went at number five, I was blown away because I thought it would be much higher on the list. And I don't know that I love this list, especially I don't agree with number one. I feel like number one is not it. So I'm just going to throw it out. You tell me if this feels right to you. Top five older white guy favorite sayings. And it does seem like a lot of this is coming from some sort of a confrontational or anger way.
Yeah. Because mine is, I have one and it's friendly.
What's your one?
You betcha.
You betcha? All right, don't have that on the
list. That could also be like a northern thing, though.
Could be.
Or you bet. You bet or you betcha.
So here's number
you
five.
Betcha.
Here's number five they have. Take a hike!
You listen here, buddy. You can just go and take a hike.
Take a hike. I would have thought that had been higher on the list.
I'm going to be honest.
And I was going to say, hey, at five,
take a hike, Bob.
Against older white guys saying, take a hike.
I don't feel like.
That feels low to me.
I don't even think it should be on the list. Like,
really?
Do you think anybody has
Tyler,
actually said? No, come on. 713-572-4610.
I think there are a lot of guys.
Do you think anyone has actually said, take a hike?
I've heard it.
Someone out in the wild?
Yeah.
Take a hike?
Yeah, I have.
Take a hike, buddy.
Yeah,
I've only heard
the buddy
like,
on the buddy on the like end of joke. It is a really big one. All right, so that's five.
That's what the whites used to do.
Is take a hike. Four.
I don't know white people the way I thought I did.
Four. Hey, hold your horses, pal.
That's a good one.
Is that
now,
a good one?
Now hold your horses.
Hold your horses.
Strong, strong contender.
Hold on now, buddy. Hold your horses there, pal. Okay.
Yeah.
Hold your horses.
Hold your horses is definitely one.
Hey, where's the fire?
That's a good
hold
one.
Your horses. All right, number three. Oh, for Pete's sake.
Pete's sake.
That's it. That right. That's in, right? I would. That's
Pete's sake. Also a good one.
Is that a good one? Older, again, if you're just joining us.
Oh, my goodness, for Pete's sake.
Dan Le Batard Show did the top five older white guy sayings, and I just want to run this by you if you think this list is Sally said, become? My silly ass husband has said it multiple times, is what Sally
Take a
said.
Hike?
Take a hike.
And real, take a hike is crazy.
Listen five here, pal, is, you can just five, take a hike.
All five
right.
is take a hike. Really, these are all confrontation. Hold your horses, for Pete's sake. I don't like the top two because I feel like for Pete's sake beats these.
Yeah, for Pete's sake's got to be higher.
That's strong.
Number two, it's not my first rodeo. Is that a strong white guy saying?
It's I don't, a common
that
one.
Is you said in the wild. I've not heard that one in the wild.
Oh, you know, I've heard plenty of that one.
I've heard that one a lot. It's not. It doesn't make me giggle as hard as the other one so far, but that one is common.
Yeah,
is it?
But I feel like that one is also kind of southern because I've heard plenty of black folks say that too. It's not my first rodeo.
It's not my first rodeo. Yeah,
yeah. I wouldn't limit that to us patients.
I don't think that's better than take a hike.
Especially if we're making it specific to white folks.
Yeah.
No, absolutely
I
not.
Agree.
Because I ain't heard no brothers say take a hike.
And number one. Oh, yeah? You and what army?
Feels like more number so a one. Little kid one.
Yeah, oh, number Oh, yeah? You and what army?
You and what army, man?
It's one that the older white guy has been saying his whole life. He started saying it as a little kid, and he's continue to say it as an old man.
It's like Clint when I tell him, you know, how we all know I'm going to beat his ass on the golf course.
Oh, yeah? King Dingling? You and what army? Yeah, you and what army? Yeah, but I don't think, but Tell me if I'm wrong.
Here's a good test.
That feels like that's not number one.
Here's a good test.
That doesn't feel like someone just checked in with cut the malarkey. That's one to me, like you're saying, take a hike. That's stereotypical.
May have ended with the boomers.
Here's a good test. Which one? Because I feel like Clint can float into a bunch of different types of crowds. Which from this list is Clint most likely to say?
Hold your horses. Easy.
This ain't my first rodeo.
Yeah, hold your horses or rodeo.
Yeah.
I was disappointed that that dog will hunt. I thought that'd be on there.
That dog will hunt? I was going to say, what are some others you think that dog will hunt?
I was going to go Gee Whiz.
Again, I don't think that's a real one.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think that's like cut the malarkey.
I've heard it.
That's like the nerd character on a TV show. They write that in. But yeah. You've heard it. Gee Whiz.
It, like Ocho, what in tarnation? That's another one that I think is...
Yeah,
is,
no one says that. They're joking. Yeah. They're kidding when they say
what that. What was
in tarnation?
It?
What in tarnation?
That someone said, by gosh.
My mom says heavens to Betsy a lot.
Does she really in real life?
Uh-huh. Heavens to Betsy.
All right, we got to go to the break. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. What should have been on the top five list?
By the way, not calling you old mom.
Older white guy saying.
Not calling you old mom.
And obviously non-slurs.
Yeah, yes, please. Take a hike
good
five.
God, B. Scott.
Hold your horses four.
I mean,
for Pete's sake,
if
three.
We allowed for them, they
it's
would
not
in.
My first rodeo two. Oh, yeah?
You and what army, buddy?
You and what army? I do feel like Buddy could be tagged on the end of a lot of these. Take a hike, buddy. Yeah.
I feel like if you what say a, you and what army, you have earned you have earned your ass kicking.
What did you say? That dog will hunt? That's one that Tyler...
That was a golf coach favorite of mine.
Oh, yeah. That dog will hunt. All right. We'll figure that out. Coming up, maybe I underestimated old Cooper Flagg last night. We'll discuss coming up next.
That's what the whites used to do.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, this is one of those that are flooding around here a bit. As I see them coming through, Jiminy Cricket. Again, it is really you'll have to tell me
Nokia?
are these stereotypical or are these things that older white folks really say?
Yeah, we're trying to have fun here, but I'm not just trying to say, hey, let's make a lame ass.
Because I can see like when Dave Chappelle is imitating white folks, Jiminy Cricket.
Like or Shizzle.
But I want to really, like someone, you ain't just whistling Dixie. I've not heard that one. Your ass is grass.
Your ass
that
is
really
grass
said,
is
I
strong.
Feels like that's it.
And
that's
I'm the lawnmower, buddy.
Okay. I've definitely not heard that. As the,
my dad just said.
As the superset. I did not know, and I'm the lawnmower. It was
your ass is grass and I'm the lawnmower, buddy.
This is a good one. When it's time to leave a restaurant or leave somewhere, let's rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Shout out Mark Vandermeer.
Yeah. Well, that is a different feel.
Rock and roll, meow.
When I'm leaving, one I've said, and I know other white fellers have said, is, you know, it's time to hit the old dusty trail. Hitting the old dusty trail.
Yeah, I've never really heard that one.
Yeah, I think some of these are Southern specific.
What are the ways that older white guys say they're going to the bathroom?
Gotta hit the loo.
The loo? It's not the head?
Gotta hit the head.
The outhouse.
Gotta drain the main
vein.
Yeah.
Taking the Browns to the Super Bowl. Gonna go sit on the old porcelain throne.
Okay.
Me and my granddaddy used to say, go make magic.
Go take a dump.
Yeah, well, that feels universal.
That's
as well.
Just straight to the point.
Right there. Gotta tinkle. Is what a champ slice said.
If you're a grown man saying that.
Why is a grown man saying he got to take a
piss?
He got to take a piss whether he know it or not. That's from The Wire.
Same person who's saying I want them tendies, I guess. Time to make like a baby and head out. And,
I've heard that one quite a few times.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good one.
Sayonara, sucker.
Okay.
All right. See y'all later, alligator. After a while.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right. That was fun. I heard that list, and I just wanted to. That didn't feel like an accurate list to me. Holy smokes, that's another.
Holy smokes has got to be a one seed.
That's a strong one. That's in there.
Holy smokes!
Yes, I mean that is. Kevin turns to that one often.
Yeah,
he's a white guy.
Holy smokes! Yeah, drop the kids off at the pool. Take the Browns to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I've heard a few of them.
Holy smokes is a big Sean Bajani one. I've been on the air with him a time or two where he said holy smokes.
Is he smokes?
I don't think I've ever thought to say that.
John's a holy smokes fella.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
All right. I didn't have that one from him.
Yeah, but Johnny's got holy smokes in his bag.
All right, well, Sean, you sent a few in there.
Sarah Jessica Parker, man, she's always done it for me.
Okay. That's a weird one.
There, I play it because he hates that I have it. He always looks at me like, bro. It's
careful what you say on these here airways, man.
Hey, I know Tyler didn't watch a single second of it last night, but Cooper Flagg, I may have misjudged the Cooper Flagg experience.
Now I'm just trying to think of what is Cooper Flagg's white guy saying, if he has one.
Nah, I don't think he's got one. I think he should. He's from Maine. You would think
he's got to have
a background.
I don't care how many brothers he didn't play basketball with.
That was the first thing. See, the Cooper Flagg experience, we got to get it because it appears, I don't know if it's just been on the 1 year he spent in Durham and Raleigh in the North Carolina area, or if it's like maybe Maine has a little something else, or he's been playing on tournaments, but appear that he has been influenced.
Yeah.
Influenced the way that J.J. Redick starts sounding a lot different from the way he did when he came out of Roanoke, Virginia to Duke about 10 years in the league. Like Svi Mykhailiuk from overseas completely changed the way he sounded within 3 years of his time at Kansas. So Cooper Flagg does look like he's been kind of influenced a little. He has much more of a going towards the old Travis Kelce way than he appears to be going the Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, it seems like his dap game is probably proper, I had to guess. Yes. Probably gives very good, intricate dap.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, last night it wasn't perfect on the floor, right? He had 10 points. I think he had 10 at the half. He had 10 points, you know, 4 assists or 6 assists, 4 rebounds, something like that. It wasn't great. He was 5 for 21. Boy, he got up 21, didn't he?
Yeah.
In his first game. I love that.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
He went up there at Cam Whitmore this thing. He got up shots, played good defense. They won the game at the end. He was disappointed in his performance, but he did have, and we talked about this yesterday, for me, B. Scott, it did have an event.
Yeah.
Like it felt like that the whole time, and it's right off the bat because he comes and gets that steal, and I mean, and yams it on the two. I mean, he was like, "I'm going up," and let me see if you can. There was an event there. There's a swag. There's a something that draws you there. I didn't know that it was going to be like that. For
yeah,
me last
it's
night.
Not milk toast. It's, no, not, it's not. It's not boring. It's not bland.
No,
it's got a little bit of an edge to it, despite the fact that he's from Maine and all of these kind of stereotypes that are easy to play into. But there is an edge there. There is an appeal there. There's a swagger. I think that there is a kind of a, aside from just the game, kind of this is an appointment viewing of what is the personality of this is gonna look like.
Yeah, and it was one of those ones, like sometimes, you know,
he's got a little bit of showman in him. There's some showmanship.
You know, there's sometimes athletes or entertainers that do something and that you don't know, like, all right, man, what the hell is Kanye about to say?
Yeah.
You know, what the hell is Ron Artest? He's liable to do something crazy. What is Draymond? What's crazy thing Draymond?
Yeah.
His just is like his normal, just his normal without trying is kind of a drawing thing. I think Tiger is like that.
Yeah.
I think Caitlin Clark is like that. I think there's some folks that are like that, where they're not having to to give off extra stuff.
Yeah.
To be stars. That's just the first game, but I was drawn, and he couldn't hit the backside of a barn for the most part, but I was into him.
Yeah, I think it is going to be important to his story.
Not sexually or anything, yeah, but I was into
I hope not. I hope not. Yeah, I hope it didn't, you know, take you too far. I like basketball just as much as the next man, but goodness gracious. But I do think this is going to help in terms of the intrigue, like not just it being like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a good basketball player. Is he a compelling figure? Like, are you on the edge of your seat when he's out there? Not necessarily. You were with Tyrese Halliburton, though, right? And I don't know if that's necessarily his personality as much as it is his game, but there's got to be just a little bit extra, a little more there with the basketball players, the guys who you see their faces, you see the expression, you see the reaction from play to play, the showmanship part about, like, trying to go up there and punch it on somebody, right?
Yes.
Not necessarily and just trying to make – yeah, not just trying to necessarily make the correct basketball play. But you know what? I want to make an impact. I want to put on a show. I want the price of admission to be justified here by saying that, hey, you got to see Cooper Flagg yam on somebody in his first summer league game. Like, he's got – it seems like he knows and understands the moment and is trying to meet the moment. Whether he does that or not remains to be seen. But he does seem to have a feel for it.
Now, there is one thing we do have to take a look at with Cooper. And I don't know if I'm really feeling what he's doing with this facial hair attempt. I don't know if you've caught this, Tyler.
I have not. Please tell.
Pull it up. It looks like he, you know, at Duke he was clean faced, right? He was straight clean faced. Now you brought up the word edge is what made me think about this. You brought up the word edge, and now he's going with the. It looks like he's trying to go into a goatee.
I like it.
But it looks like he can't grow the sides.
That's all right.
So it looks like it's just the stash and then
that's cool.
The beard part.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right, I don't know how you good.
That's fine.
You like the look for him?
Yeah,
you
no,
think
it's fine.
It's working for him.
Yeah, facial hair over non-facial hair. 8 days out of 7, every single time. Absolutely. We all. I don't care how handsome you are, or how ugly you are. You look better with facial hair. All men, 100% of us.
Should he pick one? Or are you good?
Nah, I think that's fine. I don't think it has to. I think if the beard is full enough, it's not a peach fuzz, but it's a firm enough beard.
Unless he's doing it on purpose.
I don't think that has to connect. No, it's fine.
You don't think it has to connect? You like this look? It does. He does look a little edgier.
It's better than
no facial. Did at Duke.
Better than no facial hair every time. Yeah, I'm with it. I support it. Now, if it can
really
connect,
looked at it a lot.
Ideally, it would connect. I'm with you.
Because if he had a full goatee,
But I think some people do on purpose. They'll have the beard,
and
they don't necessarily want it to connect.
It makes me wonder because he's growing it so full, the top and the bottom.
I think he could connect that if he wanted to. I don't think he's dealing with I got kind of the patchy situation on the cheek here. I don't think he's dealing with that just on the goatee part. I think he's good. I think this is the look that he's going for, and he's rocking it.
And I'll be honest, that look, I can tell there's some edge that I think people like. I think there's some, I think there's a chance he could be something that the ladies enjoy.
Oh, yeah, he's got that Love Island bombshell kind of vibe going
on. When that acne clears through, which I'm certain he'll figure that out,
he's 18. He ain't got his skincare routine down yet.
He is 18. When that clears through and he's giving you a little bad boy with that goatee, That's the added part to it. I like I said, man, I didn't think that I would be in it for the Cooper Flagg experience. Like, he would have me in for them scoring 10 points or something. It was drawing to me, and I didn't have that experience really from him at Duke with it. As someone texted in, he's got a little aura. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's the word.
Got it.
Aura.
He's got a little aura.
He's got a little bit of aura. Yeah, a little bit of aura.
Yeah.
What the kids are calling these days, Riz, which I think is short for charisma.
I think it is. I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right, the lineup is out, and we will let you know who is in it, including does their number one overall prospect, who just got called up, is he in the lineup? We'll let you know as Lance McCullers gets the ball against the Rangers. All of that as we continue. A little a little Dirties Daily coming up next right here live on The Drive.